1, 2, 3, öppna ögonen är podcasten om terapi och personlig utveckling, känslor och undermedvetna program där du träffar banbrytande terapeuter och coacher, helare och förändringsarbetare. Inspireras av andras framgångar och utmaningar, magiska transformationer av den mänskliga och andliga upplevelsen. Jag, Dan Attola, delar med mig av allt jag lärt mig som hypnoterapeut och genom mitt eget levande. Från illusionen tillbaka till verkligheten. Dags att 1, 2, 3, öppna ögonen. This episode is special not just because it's in English, but 1, 2, 3, öppna ögonen has a very special and well-known respected guest. He is a hypnosis rockstar, founder of The Swan, Mr. Bob Burns. Bob will share his experiences from almost 40 years as a hypnotist. You'll hear a story about seemingly random events that was life-changing for him. You'll get advice on how to establish yourself when you're starting a hypnotherapy business. You'll get the tale of the swan, a very powerful tool for personal change. And I'm sad to say we were going to demonstrate it live on video, but because of technical difficulties that I'm responsible of, instead, I'll post a few YouTube links of Bob doing the swan, but I can guarantee that spectacular things happened and my swan has never been that responsive before. Bob is doing a swan workshop online next weekend, 27th and 28th of January. As a hypnotherapist, you will learn amazing tools to level up as a practitioner. Only £297, that's a bargain, guys. You'll find the link in the episode description. Visit Bob at bobburnshypnotherapy.com. Let's go!
I'm very happy to welcome you to the podcast, 1, 2, 3, öppna ögonen, which would be translated to 1, 2, 3, open your eyes. Mr. Bob Burns.
Oh, as opposed to 1, 2, 3, wide awake. I like it.
Yeah, but that would be the British way to say it.
Well, it's not the Scottish way to do it.
No?
Hypnotherapy, Dan. No, we say 1, 2, 3, eyes open, and you find yourself fully clothed, just like before. And they go,
they're truly wide awake after that, right?
And the funny thing is, you think I'm joking.
I have done a session with you, and you're right. I was fully clothed afterwards.
I left you with my phone, you done.
I'm pleased to have you here. Honored. You are a celebrity in the hypnosis world, and I've seen you around online ever since I became interested in hypnosis. And you're most famous for creating the swan, and we'll talk a lot more about that later.
Sure.
But I'd like you to begin with your origin story. How did you become involved with hypnosis?
Well, life's a funny thing, Dan. Everything happens in a moment. I've noticed that over many years. We think it's like this and that, and it took 3 months to do that and 2 years to do this. But in reality, everything is in a moment. It just goes, it's something that happens to the gut, and you go, oh, what happened there, yeah? So even me getting into hypnosis was a bit like that. I used to be a professional singer in a band, an R&B band called Cockney Haggis. Now, for you, your English is pretty good. You're quite worldly. But just in case anyone doesn't understand, the name Cockney is a name for someone that's born in the East End of London under what they call the bow bells. They can hear, bong, 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 bong. That's a Cockney. So it's all these people that speak like this, you know, in London. So these are Cockneys. And half of the band I was in were Cockneys, and the other half were from Scotland. And the national food for Scotland is a haggis. So the name of our band was Cockney Haggis. And it was a good band. It was one of the best bands I've ever played in. And one night we were playing at a gig called the Queen's Hotel in Aberdeen, the northeast of Scotland, the oil capital of Europe. And as we were taking the gear from the van into the place to set up, the girl, it's funny, isn't it? Because of these moments, you remember everything. Her name was Liz. I'll never forget her because She played a pivotal part in my life. And as we were going in, the drummer, a guy called Ray Charston, looked at Liz and he said to her in his Cockney accent, down the kind of his eyes, he's an hypnotist. That's what he said. And to this day, we've talked many times, and he says, I don't know. I don't know why I said that. It's just a crazy thing to say. I just said it. And I was shocked when he said it as well. Why would he say that? But that's what he said to her. Don't look into his eyes. He's a hypnotist. And Liz turned and looked into my eyes, and I went, sleep. And I caught her head just before it hit the ground. Yeah. She was completely and absolutely gone. Now, the band were terrified because they never knew I was a hypnotist, and neither did I. So I was really terrified. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Everyone except Liz was terrified.
Liz was having the time of her life. She was. But what we did was I just, because of our worldly knowledges, I guess, I thought, how what happens now? So I just did what I thought a hypnotist would do. Strangely enough, I was correct. I was right enough. I said, nice deep breath, feeling great. And 1, 2, 3, eyes awake. All the way back, shut their eyes. I said, how was that? She says, oh, that was lovely. And that was it. And I thought, I'm going to need to do something about this. I need to find out more of this. So I went off university. I studied psychology, sociology, philosophy. But instead of becoming an actual clinical, at that time, a clinical hypnotist, I did stage hypnosis and traveled around working with drunk people, hypnotizing them for years, making money. And I did it with the band as well. So I would come on and do a hypnosis show. And then the band would come up and start playing, but the singer wouldn't turn up. The band would pretend they're scratching their heads waiting for the singer. Somebody from the audience would shout, why not get the hypnotist? And everyone would laugh. And I would walk through the audience. And what they never realized is I was the singer. Of course, the first song, I would sing it really badly so that everybody believed I wasn't the singer. So we'd make a night of it. After a while, of course, we became fairly well known. But good fun. And of course, I moved into therapy. At that time, Dan, I was also what's called a spiritual healer here in the UK. I was an accredited spiritual healer, which I love doing, probably the best thing I've ever done in my life. So I worked for many years as that. No fees ever. In Scotland, the spiritual healers don't charge. So it was just a beautiful giving thing, you know. So from there, I slid into hypnosis and started doing clinical hypnotherapy. So it's quite strange, is it? All because a guy said, don't look into his eyes, he's a hypnotist. Quite strange. Yeah.
But I think that's an example of, well, a very good example of how hypnosis actually works and what a hypnotist is doing.
Yes. And because, Dan, if I can just, before I let you go on, in my book, I wrote a book called, I can't even remember what the hell it's called, Real or Imagined. And in the book, I mentioned this in a chapter, and I ask a question, who hypnotized Liz? Was it really me, the hypnotist? Or was it Ray who gave us the suggestion I was a hypnotist? Or was it Liz, the person who suggested that, who accepted the suggestion? So it's an interesting one, yeah?
I would say the answer is yes. It was all three of you.
Yeah, all three, I guess so, yeah.
And do you think this is probably the same thing when it comes to healing, is also the healees or the client's acceptance and belief that you are going to be healed, that plays an important part in healing? All right, just as in hypnosis.
Well, the answer is yes, but the interesting thing is if you get together with a group of people, experienced people, and you're asked that question, it's interesting to watch them all arguing. I used to be one of these people that put forward a philosophical argument with it. I don't so much now. I just spend my time smiling, knowing that most of them will be wrong because they don't accept that the answer is yes to everything. It can be like this, but it can be like that. It might be over there, but it's also here. So there's lots of different ways this thing gets done. There's people who are natural somnambulists. For anyone watching this, I've asked some of the top hypnotists in the world over many years, who goes into hypnosis? What's the percentage? And it's agreed amongst the very top hypnotists, for pure hypnosis, it's 5%. It's only 1 in 20. You've done stage. You know what I'm talking about. You've got 100 people in a room. 100 people in a room, you're going to get 5 people. I'm going to be great. Now, you know that through experience. But a lot of people would like to think, I've spent a couple thousand pounds. If I get 20 people this week, I'll hypnotize them all. Well, good luck with that. Yeah. So some people just will not go into hypnosis. Then There's the other thing, Dan, is, you know, personally, they look at you, they're not remotely interested, they don't do any of the tests, but suddenly when you snap that fingers, it's gone. Now, we don't like that, because that doesn't support any arguments that we have.
No.
But it's good for us to know that and to look out for that, because that can happen at any time. Yeah?
It's frustrating and it's hard in, you know, the online that the correct answer can be yes and no, and well, somewhere in between.
Well, you're a former wrestler. I take it former's the word. Is that correct? You're not doing it anymore, right? So, I mean, what we used to do. Many people don't know this. You might even want to edit this out. We'll see how brave you are. It's up to you, okay? But at times, of course, if I get somebody who was really difficult on one stage, and I put a hand on a shoulder as I look at my audience and say yes, because the funny thing is, and while I'm talking, this pinches this little vein in here, yeah. I stop that blood from going to that brain, and I say to them, well, I'm doing this, and you just find yourself getting more and more sleepy, and they just kind of go, no, that is, for anyone watching this, if Dan's brave enough to leave this in, that is illegal and highly, highly dangerous. Don't do it, yeah? It's only me and Dan. It's only me and Dan allowed to do that, nobody else. But there you go, that's the kind of thing. My uncle stopped me that when I was a young man. So there's lots of ways we can get people into a state, although that is absolutely not hypnosis. That's killing. That's a different thing. Yeah.
That's another, but, you know, that's a big sleep.
Yeah. But if they're paying you money, Dan, you know, you've got to take the money, man. Okay, that's a joke, anyone watching. Hello? That's a joke. Right, okay.
But not many hypnotherapists are stage hypnotists, but I think that many stage hypnotists are also hypnotherapists. It's, you know, that was my introduction to hypnotherapy. I did stage hypnosis first as a side hustle. But do you, and you've done stage shows, mentalism, magic. How can a hypnotherapist benefit from the techniques you use during a stage hypnosis show?
I think doing the therapy, they can't benefit at all. But I think doing the hypnosis, it's paramount to learn. I mean, most hypnotherapists, I get hated for saying this, but I'm just opening my mouth and telling the truth. I mean, I hypnotized my first person in 1973, so it's on my 51st year. And in my experience, Dan, most hypnotherapists are not good at hypnosis. Yeah, they've been in a course, but I remember, I've got to be careful not to use names here, but I know a very, very prominent name in the UK. There's a six-month course. Every month you turn up for it over 6 months. And on the first weekend, I've been told by a good friend of mine that at the end of the first weekend, he says, okay, that's the hypnosis out the way now. We cannot get involved in the therapy. In all fairness, I understand what he's saying. Because to learn hypnosis, we don't tell people this, but it takes 15 minutes. If someone's really good, yeah? If they're good at this stuff, they can learn what to do in 15 minutes if they have the bottle and the confidence. Because the deal is the deal. It doesn't get better. That's it. You know how to do it. So I understand what the guy's saying, that really it's all about therapy here on in. However, having said that, not a lot of training in hypnosis itself. And most hypnotherapists don't do hypnosis in the therapy room. By that, sorry, let me change that. They don't do any testing. So the initial consultation, they won't test. If someone comes with me for training, they get to see me doing the testing. Everything, lots and lots of things. So in other words, we have to put our head on the block and see what happens. If they go into hypnosis, great. If it's kind of a semi, that's okay. If they don't, that's not a problem because I'm a therapist. I don't need to put them into hypnosis. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
But I've been lucky enough to have had a session with you, and I think that was maybe 3 years ago, and you took away my imposter syndrome, which I'm eternally grateful for, and I just want to acknowledge your presence and your magic during the session. Well, it was an online session, but I know you said that. Well, I think you said that you were standing behind me and holding my shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, I could feel them. And we can say it's a hypnotic suggestion, but is that also something else?
Well, we wouldn't have enough time if we did this over a whole week, 10 hours a day, because there's so many things out there that can happen. So, for example, I don't believe in unicorns. I hate myself for not believing in unicorns. I'd love to. And I don't believe that the universe talks to us, that we can manifest things, that gives us big cars and houses. And I'd love to believe that. But guess what? I'm also quite woo-woo. I believe in lots of things. I believe, for example, in nature spirits and stuff like that. So back to the question you're asking. Yeah, I think there is a touch. Just it's purely scientific, but there's just a sprinkle of magic that goes in there. I mean, if you're experienced, you're experienced. So if you show me a guy who's a hypnotist and wants to come and do therapy, and he gets a somnambulist, he's going to have a great result. Yeah, he's just so skilled that he or she are so skilled, they know exactly what they're doing. The difference now is hopefully they won't waste the trance. It's a lovely saying, never waste a trance. If you ever do that with anyone, don't waste it. Make sure they feel great. They feel fantastic. Ask them, is there anything you'd like? Boom. And then we see if we can deliver that. And then we have the second session where we find out if it took them that. You know, I've got lots of guys who do one session only, they tell me, and they fix the world. Run away if you meet these guys. They're lovely, but they're just completely crazy. You know, they believe that's what they do. Mm. They believe they have one session with people and they're fixing everyone. So again, it's all knowing, and it's all getting into a groove of how we do. As you probably know, Dan, I'm completely scripted, for example. People get shocked when they discover that I'm scripted. I don't read scripts, but up here, I'm totally scripted in order that I cannot make a mistake. So it's quite a cool thing to do, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the answer is, yeah, there's lots of different things and different ways we can do this thing.
Mm. But I think you called yourself the therapist's therapist. Like you see a lot of other hypnotherapists as clients. What are their most common issues?
Oh, nearly always the same. When I did, the first time this happened was many years ago in Melbourne in Australia. And I thought, I'm going to do that again to see what happens. It's just something that fell from my lips. You know, it's a Saturday morning. I said, okay, so guys, why are you here? Yeah, why? Let's go to the back of the class first. We'll go forward. Try and be as honest as possible. And the first guy said, no, I'm here because I'm lacking in confidence. Mm. That's it. I'm lacking in confidence. And so did the second, and so did the third. The fourth one said, my problem is the training that I've had, I feel there's something missing from the training I've had. The fifth one said, I'm lacking confidence. So did the sixth. The seventh one said, yeah, I'm lacking. The training I've had, I feel there's something. It went right through the whole class, about 40 people. It was either confidence, personal confidence, or the training I've had, I feel there's something missing. I felt really bad because their trainer was in the room watching this take place. And you could tell who he was because he was sitting like this, yeah? Shaking his head. It's not his fault. That's the way with lots of things. There's something, certain je ne sais quoi. It's a lovely term, isn't it? Certain je ne sais quoi. There's something missing from the training. So that's why I got involved in this, the therapist. A lot of therapists come to, in fact, you know what? I would suggest almost as many therapists come to me as clients off the street. It'll be something small, but it'll nearly always be confidence. Well, there's just something missing from the training. And of course, when I'm finished with them, there'll be something missing from the training. They won't like what I did completely. They're daft as a brush. Everyone's looking for Shazam. They're looking for a special thing that does not exist. You have to work hard and become better. I mean, there's a lovely term. I don't know who used it first. You have to sharpen your cutting edge. It's a beautiful term. You have to learn how to sharpen your cutting edge. Keep sharpening your cutting edge, and you won't have to look for it anymore. It will come to you. You'll just be able to do things that you couldn't do before. And when that happens, of course, guess what happens? Your confidence goes through the roof. I remember my first time, I was a hypnoanalyst. A lot of people don't know this. I started off through my psychology doing hypnoanalysis. Very deep, very clever, very Freudian. But the truth of it is, and, you know, although I was sitting there with a pinstripe suit and a polka dot tie and a white silk shirt, and I did lots of these things, I stroked my goatee beard, go, finger my glasses, my fingers from my silver hair, did all that highly confident and upmarket thing. I was shit scared. I had no confidence whatsoever in what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. And it took me a while to get that. And no matter how good I was, I had rapport. That's something I'm always looking for in a therapist, because if they've got rapport, they're going to sail through all of this better than any training, in fact. Show me a guy with rapport, a man and a woman with rapport will just move mountains. So although I had that, I had no experience. I was lacking in it. And at some point in time, I had to have the balls to say, and try and hypnotize them. Because the reason why they don't, and you know this, the reason why they don't try and hypnotize them is in case they don't go into hypnosis. Hmm. Well, that's a dumb thing to do. I won't try. I'll tell you what, I won't try in case I fail. That way, I'll never fail. That just doesn't make sense. Yeah. That's cool. So they have to have the cojones to go and try and do something and see what happens. Yeah. But there's different ways of doing that, you know. I mean, one of my lines is, it sounds like it's a get-up, but it's free and not. It's in a second, I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath, especially online. In a second, I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and close your eyes and just relax. And just let me do my work. Is that okay? There'll be no induction or anything like that. I'm quite sneaky. I've been using hypnosis language on you now for 40 minutes, I'll tell them. Mm. So this will be fairly easy. You just sit back, close your eyes, and that's it. So they sit back, they close their eyes, boom. That's my induction. But of course, the way I work, Darren, is, you know, I'm a great worker with the subconscious. I'm a believer that there's three of us, at least three of us, having a conversation right now. There's me, you, and the guy inside your head looking at me through your eyes right now. He's going, that's right. That makes sense. Well, yeah. And that is my belief.
Yeah, that's the guy who took a
so I don't need to hypnotize
when you told me to.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? Imagine if we had a talk about hypnosis and I did the swan that we'll get into later, and we've got reaction and everything's happening. If I said, what I'll do right now is I'll hypnotize you, the guy inside you might look at me through your eyes and go, I thought this guy was good. He's crazy. He's already made contact with me. All we've got to talk about is what's happening now. But no, he wants to hypnotize them. Why does he want to hypnotize him when he's already made contact with me? So all my working days, all my life, Don, all I hear from people is this. So I did a swan. It was absolutely lovely. And then I hypnotized them. And I just smile. But it's a part of me saying, well, why bother hypnotizing them? You're already there through the swan. But hey-ho. And of course, the reason why we hypnotize them is because they paid money. I understand. They've come along and they want to taste hypnosis. They want to try it. So I get that. Of course I do.
Yeah. And I think while we're on the subject of the swarm, because we're not going to dance around it, because this is the, I think this is one of the most exciting things of this conversation. It is very special. And most of my listeners are probably not hypnotists and probably unfamiliar with the swarm. So that's why I am so excited to share it and make more people aware of this very unusual and most effective strategy for personal change. And I'm quoting you. I wonder if you could be so kind and introduce us to the swan. What is it and how did you find it? What can it do?
Okay. So I think the very best way to do this would be to explain that I myself am not a great hypnotist. I'm okay. I can go into hypnosis, but I was never one of the best. I'm not what's called a pure somnambulist. That's not what I am. But what I am, it sounds like I'm going off on a tangent here, but I'm not. What I am is I'm a Tai Chiist. I would do Tai Chi most days of the week. I'm going back many years now. And definitely every Saturday morning in Montrose in Scotland, down at the beach, for 9 o'clock, I would be doing Tai Chi on my own. And I loved it. Just me on the sand with the waves and the clouds. It was just a beautiful part of the weekend for me. Then I would come home. I would sit down. I'd have a cup of tea and I would watch a cooking program. In Britain, everyone knows the cooking program I'm talking about. It's on at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning with a guy called James Martin. And this particular morning, I'm there. I'm watching the cooking. I like to cook. I've just done my Tai Chi. I'm feeling great. And I put my fingers through my hair. And I put them onto the back of the chair, the sofa, I'm sitting on my gut. And suddenly I glance to the right and I'm just leaning on the chair. That's all I'm doing. I'm just going, ugh. And I watch the telly and I glance to the right and I look and I don't know why, but out loud I said, you look like a swan. to my hand. Yeah. I said, you look like a swan. And my hand does this. Yeah. My hand goes. And I go, oh, yeah. Because that's not me. That's not who I am. It's nothing like me. And I say, do that again. And my hand goes. And now it's, most people will understand what I'm saying here, where, you know, we've got five senses and we're here in this reality. Every now and again, something happens, just a click, and you go, whoa, it's a tummy roll. Your head's a bit fuzzy, foggy. I don't want to exaggerate this, but definitely it was a strange feeling. So, and I says, can you do anything else? And then this happened, Dan, because my hand, it's sitting there shaped like a swan, and then it did this. It turns like that and looks at me. So now it's not funny. Now I'm not feeling great about it. And I say, can you do other things? Something like that, because it's a mix of, but can you do other things? Can you say hello? And then my hand waves hello, yeah? So at this point in time, I say, can you say hello? And the hand waves hello. Then I scream, Lee! My wife Lee is upstairs, and she comes running down the stairs. And I said, I know what won't happen again, because that's how the psychic world works. This thing that we talk about, wonderful things, it's phenomenal, yeah? And then we go and tell a friend, and it never works. Why? Because this shit will just do your head in, yeah? It'll work for you alone. You bring it to somebody else and just... just nothing works. So I didn't expect it to work. There you go, no expectancy at all. People say, oh, it's all about expectancy. No, I said, watch this. Could you move again? And bang, and it just started doing the whole thing. Now, my English wife is a former university lecturer in psychology, sociology, philosophy. This is her world. And she just looked at me and said, you have to go into the therapy room on Monday and see how this fits with other people. I said, yeah, I have to. But I tried it with her and nothing. Didn't work with her. Such a disappointment. What we never realized was 4 or 5 years from now, I'd be with a friend of mine, Rob de Groof, in Belgium, and my wife would be in a room with lots of people, and she would put her hand up, and she would work perfectly. I asked her later, I said to her later, well, thank you for moving your hand for me. I thought she just did it, so I would be embarrassed with all the people thinking, well, that's his wife. It doesn't work with her. But I said, thank you for moving your hand. And she says to me, you idiot. You think I would move my hand for you? It was going crazy. I couldn't stop it. So Lee, even now, is a great swan as well. So with this thing now done, it's Monday morning. I get a client in, and I have to look as if this is what I do. Everybody will be able to relate to what I'm saying now. When you're doing anything for the first time in therapy, you have to look as if you've been doing this for years. You're highly experienced. That's okay. Come on. Are you right-handed or left-handed? Okay, put your hand like that. And all I'm going to do is talk to a part within your hand that will take me to your subconscious. I'm off script now. I don't like being off script. I don't know what I'm talking about. So then we do the thing, and maybe you could twitch a thing, and boom, I get a movement. Then I get another movement. Then a hand spins. And there, the person's going, little do they know, so am I. This is mind-blowing. And we do the session. I ask the part that will take away their pain. It says, yes, 1, 2, 3. And how do you feel right now? And they say, yeah, it's great. It's gone. And I say, I'm very calm. I nod my head. I look like a professional. I wave goodbye. I close the door. I jump up. I punch the air. And I go, fuck yeah. It's ridiculous. So the next thing that happened, I saw people all day and all week. And maybe a couple couldn't do it. But the vast majority could. And I was getting a result with it. It's not just a moving hand. I'm getting results. I'm feeling better. Anxiety is lifting. Pain is going, so on and so forth. So I then made the mistake that everybody makes. I went on to Facebook to tell everybody how lovely I was. And I got hammered. Absolutely hammered. Especially from one guy. A psychologist based in London. Very good psychologist. A top psychologist. But a clinical psychologist by the name Felix Economakis, and he actually called me a cock. So he's Greek. He doesn't know that that's the final British insult. He called me a cock. And I So he said, look, if you can do this, get down, I'll get your flight. Come down to London, do it before a group of people here. I'll get some psychologists, doctors, science people people in the room, see if you can do it then. Of course, I'm so angry, I'm typing, like, yeah, okay, I'll try, I'll do that. And I said to my wife, I shouldn't have done that, because I see he's sent an email with the tickets. He's got the flight ticket, and it's for next Saturday. And I really shouldn't have done that. So I'm not on a flight, I'm almost vomiting, we get down, I walk into the room, and there's like, I don't know, 20 people in the room with their arms folded, staring at me. And it's just, I've never felt more helpless in my life. So I picked a guy to come forward and do it with him, and it just worked. It was beautiful. And in fact, before I even made the term for it, which I now call, as you know, direct voice, I had no term for direct voice. It's going so well, something inside me says, ask the bit to speak. It's ridiculous. So I hear myself saying, which would later become a part of my script, of my professional script, so yeah, you can move the finger. And sure, you can move that hand. And yeah, you can say yes and you can say no. But if you wanted to, could you actually go into their cardiovascular system, their heart, the throat, the trachea, the lips, the teeth, the mouth? And could you speak if you wanted to? What do you think? And the part went, yes. And I went, okay. As if, yeah, that's fine. I'm completely in lost. I'm in swamps. I'm in a big swamp. I don't know where I am. And these people are looking at me, but I notice now their mouths are open. I'm getting this. So I'm back again, and of course, suddenly the part says, hello. And then we go from there. We have a conversation with this part. Then I do it with them, and as I remember it right, all but one swanned. One guy at the back didn't, and we did something with him later, and he was pretty good, by the way. Back to where we are again, the guy that refuses to do it. And during the break, and again, remember what I said, Dan? Everything happens in moments. And sometimes you don't recognize the moment. I never recognize the moment here, of course. We break for tea, and a man called Philippe Miras, who is a doctor of dentistry from the south of France, walks up to me and says, I didn't quite understand. My English isn't completely fluent. I didn't quite understand. Do you think you could do it with me now during the break? Dan, I don't want to do it with him during the break. I'm choking for a cup of tea. I'm British. We need tea. No. But of course, I said, yes, of course. So I sit down and I do the swan with Philippe Miras, who's about to become a wonderful friend of mine over many years, who's now, in his own right, written a book, The Swan in French. His book, The Swan in French. In fact, people in France think The Swan is by Philippe Miras. In all fairness to Philippe, he's never said that. He names me. He's a lovely guy, but he's very, very good at it, and he teaches it there. But at this point in time, another guy from Greece picks up his mobile phone and, without my permission, starts filming it. It's a bad film. It's on the internet. It's the first one ever of me and a guy doing this one on film. And it's not great. It's very slow, very, very slow. But guess what? Because it was that, it became brilliant. Because when people saw it, for example, if it was perfect, it would have been like this. And people might look and go, nah, I'm not sure about that. The baby acting. But because this wasn't brilliant, I think people looked at it and thought, this is real, which of course it was. Mm. And I started getting inquiries from all over the place. Very quickly, at speed, I made a DVD called The Swan. It cost me £1,000. That was my fee. That's what the guy asked for, £1,000. He did a really professional job. Everybody buy The Swan. He did a really professional job, and it just exploded. It took off. My wife said to me, £1,000, Bob. When will we get the £1,000 back? Well, we got it back by Thursday. It was a couple of days. It just sold so well. And then it went on, and the rest is history. Paid off my mortgage. Took me and my English wife around the world 6 or 7 times, just doing workshops on it. Everything changed. And everything changed because this guy said he did not work well for me. Can we try it again, please? That was it. That was the moment. That's what did it. Or I would have had a cup of tea and it might never have got out of that room. Yeah? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Because this guy had did the filming, just put it on the internet. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Thanks to not asking permission, you get to travel the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got the assumption that the Swan or the Swan workshops
they're basically selling themselves. You have not done any marketing. You didn't do any marketing for the DVD.
No marketing ever.
Which, by the way, I own since I think bought it 10 years ago. And I want to mention also that you're doing an online Swan training the 27th and 28th of January.
Yeah.
How can people attend if they're interested in
this? This month, 27th and 28th, is going to be online. And that'll be great. I think Pete's charging something like £300 or something like that for it. So it's a full 2 days. By the time everyone's finished, they can all do the Swan. I'm also got a thing you might not know about, Dan. I'm doing a thing on the 23rd, I think, of March, where I'm doing an in-person one-day special. This is going to be fun because I've never done it before. As you know, but the people watching this won't know, I'm also a professional magician and mentalist, but I've never taught myself to lay people, and I never would. I know you can go and buy magic online now. That's not me. I don't do that. But what I'm doing for therapists, for people of therapy or who can use this, I'm doing a one-day special. I've called it From Alice in Wonderland. There's a line from Alice in Wonderland book, and it's called Six Impossible Things Before Breakfast. I love that line. So I've called this, I don't think six is enough. I've called it Eight Impossible Things Before Breakfast. And I'm going to show everybody eight ridiculous things that they'll use for the rest of their life with mentalism in hypnosis. Yeah. So the idea is we come in the morning, I blow their minds completely, but then I show them how to do it. But unlike other guys who will give them, I'm not interested in giving them the secret. The secret is not what it's all about. I'll be the monster that they need. I'll be on their shoulder, making sure that they can do this. And if they can't, they come back to me online or whatever, and I will train them until they can do it. I'm not letting anybody out there with my stuff who isn't good at it. It's not going to happen. So I'm looking forward to that. I did it for a bit of fun on Sunday. This is brand new. I called it on Sunday. I did a Zoom thing on Sunday. Then two people said yes. And now I think I've got 19 people booked up, which is more than I wanted. I wanted between 12 to 16. But I've now got 19 people booked up. But we'll keep the door open. I guess I can handle up to maybe 24 or something like that. So it's me teaching people how to do mentalism along with hypnosis. And I'm excited because I'm pretty good at doing this, but I've never taught it before. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward
to doing this.
March 23rd in live training in Southampton, where you live now.
Yeah. Around the corner for me. Yeah. I've just moved to England, and this is the Holiday Inn in West End, Southampton, around the corner for me. So it's going to be fun.
A personal question. How come you moved from Montrose in Scotland?
That's okay. It's more personal than you think, funny enough. We've got family members who I'm just trying to choose my words carefully without naming any names. We've got family members who need some help medically, yeah? And my wife said, we should be doing this. Sure, there's lots of family here, but they've got young families, things to do. Yeah, no, I'm 72 now. And I do myself online. I could do this anywhere. And in my own family in Scotland, they said, we think, Dad, it's time. And you should do this. So this will be our last move in life. But down here, I like it. You get to see him. You get to spend time with him. It's lovely. So it was my wife's idea. Again, she's a Sassenach. It's an English person who is angry with Scottish people. So everything's cool. But now I have to build a practice again. Mm. Yeah. So all that stuff that I tell other people to do, I have to do this now. So I'm doing the main things that I would do if I'm building a practice. For example, for anyone who's listening in, we're not going to go through it, but the main two things that I've always done, I've had five different practices in my career. And the two things I always do, number one, I do group talks. So it could be a special, I don't know, a ladies knitting group, or a bowling group or whatever, and they have guest speakers on every month. I come along to do a guest speak. I'll talk for maybe an hour, and I'll demonstrate hypnosis while I'm there. I tell this to everyone, don't just talk about it. You have to demonstrate what you do, yeah? So I'll do the demonstration, I'll hand out cards and what have you, and I'll get clients off of that. The other thing I do is I do self-hypnosis courses, groups. And to be honest, all of the people who come in my self-hypnosis group all become my clients, if I'm being honest, yeah. So it's a lovely way to build a practice and to meet friends as well at the same time. Well, this thing I'm doing on the 27th and 28th, it's not a plug here, it's just to say it in general, I teach this stuff to the people that I'll be with this month. I'll show them everything, word for word scripted, of the seven things that I do. I have to do seven things. It's seven different topics, starting off with, hi, good evening. Let me tell you about this thing called hypnosis. Let me take you back 10,000 years. And I tell them a story of what hypnosis would be like then. And now I've got somebody here right now that's stuck to the floor and we're all having a little bit of a smile and what have you. So I take them through seven things. And then I hand out a business card. I don't know, you won't be aware of this, Dan. I hand out a business card in a way that you'll never forget me. Yeah. So I teach people how to hand out a business card in a way that the person taking the business card will go, wow, and they will never, ever, ever forget.
You pull it out of their ear or something. I just have to see for myself.
You're so close. I pull it out of an orifice, but it's not my ear. So you're very, very close. Yeah.
Well, so you're giving people stuff for imagination.
yeah. So.
But you're 72. Do you think you'll ever retire?
I consider myself to be almost retired now. Do you know that? I mean, you mentioned earlier, which is very nice of you to say, I'm pretty well known, I do this and that. I don't think so much. I think my star has shone, and I was quite popular at the time. And then so my age and COVID, and the fact that I already put it out there, I've not wilted, but I've come down a little bit. I'm okay with that. I remember so many years ago, I was in America, West Coast maybe, and this guy called Roy, who's a very, very well known, I'm going to be careful how I word this so it comes the right way. And Roy said to me, we were standing in a room where we're all selling our stuff. I had nothing, I just had this one DVD, but everyone else had lots of books and that. And he says, I've been standing here for 2 hours now and no one's bought anything from me. And I said, Roy, do you have any idea who you are? You are massive. Everybody in the world has everything that you have. That's why you're not selling anything else. They've all got it. And he laughed. And by the way, it was true. A bit like that with me now. If I go somewhere and I take Swan DVDs, I'm not going to get the sales that I got before because most people in the room will have it. And it's okay. I get that now. So the only things I put out there is the Swan and the Swan Speaks, which is the one where it's a bigger DVD of people doing direct voice, which is quite cool. In fact, if there's anyone, but I do other things on hypnosis as well, and I don't have to charge for it. For anyone watching this right now, after this is finished, if they go onto YouTube and look up Bob Burns does mind reading on the radio, that's what you're going to look up. Bob Burns does mind reading on the radio. You'll hear me reading someone's mind on live radio. And you'll hear that they're just blown away. They're absolutely terrified, in fact. You'll even hear them say at one point, I have no idea how you're getting this stuff. Well, I'm getting that stuff because I hypnotized them the day before, but they can't remember me. They told me all about their life, told me everything. And we got them to come along that day. And they said, I don't know where you got this stuff. I said, well, you told me. We have met yesterday. In fact, I say to them, because this doesn't come out there, but I can tell the listeners now, I say to them, we met last night. We had dinner. You paid for it. I insisted on it. In fact, you've got the receipt in your wallet. They go into the wallet, take out, there's a receipt for £140. And they go, what? Yeah. And of course, they told me this story that I'm now telling them. But so this is the great things we can do with hypnosis. But anyway, like I said, that's free for anybody that wants to go and get it. It's a pretty good clip, and my good friend Anthony Jaquin heard it and put it onto YouTube for me, so it's been there for years, and lots of other stuff, of course.
We're soon getting to this one and letting everyone in to see it, but I was introduced by Jonathan Chase, and I know he's a friend of yours, during a stage hypnosis training and in London, and I've done it lots of times with clients and with myself, and every time I react like, wow, it works. I'm as like surprised every time, because It's so obvious. It's not your conscious mind. It is something else. And I think that's the probably one of the best ways to prove or to demonstrate how what hypnosis is, because you're speaking or communicating with the subconscious mind while you're conscious, while you're awake, while you can watch it happening, you can observe it.
Well, I have a saying that up above my room is my family motto in ancient Latin. It's now over 800 years, my own the Burns family motto. And it says, Snicarios est asbestas. And it means sneaky is best. So me and my family, we are very sneaky. I know we never lie to you about a thing like that. Snicarios est asbestas, sneaky is best. So for example, when I took out my book, I called it Real or Imagined, based on the swan. So when people ask me about the swan, I would say that. They would say, what is it? And I say, well, you know, it's either real or imagined. And by doing that, Dan, I stop people from giving me, I paused there because you paused, that's okay. By telling them real or imagined, I stop them from giving me a hard time. Because if somebody was to turn on to me and go, I don't think that stuff's real, I'd say, yeah, like I said, it's real or it's imagined. Then I watch them get even angrier because I'm not telling them it is real, yeah? So again, sneaky is best. Well, it's real or it's imagined. And I let people make up their own mind. The wonderful thing with the swan is, and you'll know this, you just said it, you're right. I don't do any marketing. I've never marketed the swan. The swan is as good as it is because of people around the world saying that it is. I mean, they come to me. I even had a medium, Mark Matros, who said to me, this is a spiritual medium, that said, oh, we are sick of you. We mediums, we are sick of you. And they were half joking. They were quite nice. And I said, what's the problem? And I said, well, Bob, I don't know if you know this. People come to see us and we give them messages from beyond. We give them messages because we are the medium. But when they come and see you, you turn them into the medium. It's annoying. It's really, really annoying. So that was quite funny. And that, of course, would be true of direct voice, assuming that's what it is. But I'm not saying what it is. I'm saying, look, it's either real or it's imagined, and I leave it at that. Do I have my absolute thoughts in it? Yes, I have my absolute thoughts in it. But I don't try and sell them too much. I could be wrong, you know? So I'm okay if everybody else is okay, sort of thing.
You know, real or imagined, you know, to the subconscious mind, it doesn't have to be a very big difference.
No, it doesn't. And a lot of people will say, for example, it's not the conscious you're talking to, it's the subconscious. I even go a little step further. The subconscious for me might as well be a lane that men walk up and pee in the lane on the way back from a football match. It's just a place. The subconscious for me is not an entity. The subconscious is a place, but in that place, we find things. So I want to talk to the subconscious where I find something or someone, real or imagined, within the subconscious. That's the way I've worked it over by doing this. I mean, I'm one of these guys, I've really put in the 10,000 hours sort of thing, you know. I've done this so many times now. These are my findings. And I often tell people say, oh, I decided to believe, just to believe that. And I say, well, we never decide what we believe. None of us ever do. We don't get to decide what we believe. We just believe something. I can prove that for you right now, Dan. When I tell you, hi, I'm your wife, Brenda. Dan, you and I are married and we've got 5 kids together. No matter how hard you try, you cannot believe that. Yeah? Mm. So it's a simple little thing I've said there, but the bigger example is it makes sense. But by doing lots of things, we then get to believe. That's why I don't give people a hard time when they're against me with different, it's just a different belief. They're not against me. They cannot help what they believe. And I don't really want to change them too much. I'm not interested in changing that belief too much either. That's their journey. That's their path. And good luck to them. You know?
But that's a very difficult thing to change or even to communicate to people. You know, even if we do have different beliefs, we might actually like each other. How the world looks right now, it's you know, you become your beliefs or you become your opinions, and if you have one opinion that is wrong, then everything with you is wrong. Everyone you're associated with is wrong, and you're sort of the enemy.
Well, yes, you're right. That's what we call false premise. The initial thought you have that everything is based, everything else will be false. We call that false premise. And what you're saying is right, of course. So although I say I don't care what people believe, when they come to my therapy room, I absolutely care what they believe. Because a lot of the time, their pain will be a belief. It'll be psychosomatic. I mean, the work of John Serrano, a wonderful back surgeon, he believed at the end of his days that 90% of all the surgeries that he did were a waste of time. It was all psychosomatic. It was the brain being pressed so hard with anxieties and worries, it said, I need to do something about this. I'll send pain to the back. Lumbago, non-specific backache. How wonderful. And then they go, oh God, these aches and pains. But they're not anxious anymore. They've just got aches and pains. And the brain, again, we're just talking in general here, wonderful computer, but doesn't, in certain areas, doesn't think it through, says, just not happening. Back pain. So we know that's true because we do this and suddenly their pain goes. One of my favorites is my middle daughter, Tara, had severe back pain, jumping on planes and going hundreds of miles to see specialists in London. And then one day, and I couldn't fix her, Dan, I want to make sure this gets out there correctly. I could not fix my daughter. She was not good for hypnosis, and for whatever reason, I failed. I'll use the word fail, okay? I failed to fix her. But the good news is, one day I said, and how's the back? Because you have to bring it up. We're talking, I said, and how's the back? And she said, oh, Dan, I don't know how to tell you this. It's been fixed for a couple of months now. And I said, how did you fix it? She said, well, that's the thing. I read a book, and Dad, when I was reading the book, it was like you were talking to me. All the things you've always said, but you're my dad. You're just daddy. But this expert told me all these things, and before I know it, by the end of the book, I have no pain. And I said, was the guy's name Serrano? She says, yes, John Serrano. Well, I've been doing his work for years, but this is dad going to daughter. Yeah, ain't going to work. Yeah, I'm there for cuddling, nothing else. Yeah. So we are amazing creatures. But we know that some of the things we do are just ridiculous without the swan and without the hypnosis.
Hej, det här är Dan Attora som kommer och bryter för att pusha för två saker till mina svenska lyssnare. Ett, på min hemsida kan du få en gratis videoserie som är en introduktion till hypnoterapi. Tre videos med högkvalitativ information filmad av Emilia Ekman Larsson, dokumentärfilmare extraordinär. Knappa in din adress så skickas videorna till din mail på danattola.se. 2. Mer än hälften av platserna till retreatet på Teneriffa i mars är sålda, så nu är det hög tid för din FOMO att kicka in. Hör av dig genast eller gå in på länken till retreatet i avsnittsbeskrivningen. Hypnos, breathwork, meditation, sol, jacuzzi, vandring, grott, strand, härligt sällskap, transformerande, utvecklande och en perfekt energiboost inför våren och sommaren, och vi ser fram emot att träffa dig där. Nu tillbaka till avsnittet.
It's like when I mean I'm not a lover of magic, funny enough. And you know, the average magician, you know, they've got their sleeves half up their arm, and when they count cards, for example, they go a one, a two, a three. I hate that kind of magic. I think with you, they like being fooled gently, and they want to laugh. They want to laugh. So I was a comedy close up magician. That's what I did. So when I approach a table, they think I'm going to pull up a pack of cards. I'm not. I'm going to make her breast squeak. And everyone's going to giggle, and then we'll have fun after that. Yeah, that's again the thing I do.
You make me think of Tommy Cooper.
Yeah, absolutely, great guy.
My childhood favorite magician, one of my all time favorite magician, of course.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah,
died on stage. I mean,
yeah, and it's right there on YouTube for everyone to see, and of course the audience are just falling about laughing. Cooper would have loved that.
That's the way to die while you're doing what you love.
Just the laugh and in the London Palladium as well. It's phenomenal. It's just a great story.
Yeah, definitely.
And by the way, the laughter is really important. And you'll hear this from, really, I mean, the swan is as much as I know, it works in 85 countries around the world. So thousands of people will happily tell me that when the part comes through to speak, it breaks into laughter, or the person does. Let's not argue about who it is, the part or the person. I think it's mainly the person, because it's kind of a, Jesus, this isn't happening, is it? And it's kind of like that, yeah? That's what I'm told. And I guess that's it. I myself do not do direct voice. The guy that I told you about, Felix Economakis, there's a thing online about this. Felix came up to my home. And when Felix came, I'll tell you this, I love these story, and I do have his permission to tell this story. When he came to visit me up in the north of Scotland, he walked into my home and his eyes started watering. He got some foam at his mouth. It was not good. And he said to me, you don't have a cat, do you? And yes, we have a cat. He's allergic to cats and dogs. And I thought, and all I'm thinking is, A, is he going to die? And B, is he going to die here? You know, if it's something happening this weekend, it's on and so forth. So I took him out of the house because I had some clients to see. That's why he came up to watch me working. And after he saw me working with a swan, he said, do me. So we filmed it, and it's online somewhere, me with Felix. When it comes to direct voice, Felix goes and starts laughing. It doesn't come out. He didn't do complete direct voice. But we enough for this. Could you help Felix? Bam, yes. Could you help him the cut thing? Yes. Could you think you could fix it? Yes. Could you do it now? Yes. That fast. Shall we then? Yes. Felix, crazy man. He's got foam coming out of his mouth earlier. Turned around and looks at me and goes, get the cut. My wife Lee says, no. Bob, he nearly died. We're not getting Cassie our cut. It's not gonna happen. And again, Felix says, no, get her. This happened. We put the cut into his arm, and again, this is on film. It's a beautiful thing. Felix, and I'll send it to you if you remind me. I'll send it directly to you. Felix gets the cut, and she starts purring. She loves Felix. He slept with my cut for 2 nights. Yeah.
Wow.
Not a problem. Nothing at all. No problems whatsoever.
Wow.
And he went back home and bought a pet within a week. Yeah. So this is so human. Go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll do it now. That's fine. Boom. Fixed.
That's the objective. Absolutely. With one, just agreement and like your subconscious or the one part of your subconscious is just happy to do what it's told.
Well, again, we're back to, you said one part of your subconscious, which could be absolutely right. But another part, it won't be one part of your subconscious. It will be David, who lived with you in a past life, claims David. It will be your mother, who passed on 3 years ago, claims your mother. It'll be Anthropal from the planet Kyans, because the parts opened its mouth and told you that. I just did a direct voice. It's going to go online for the group I'm doing in January. I did a direct voice last week. It was ridiculously powerful. The part totally claiming, named the planet they come from, named their name, say that we go in different planets in different lifetimes. We travel, we skate across the universe, and it knows this person has done for hundreds of years. This is nothing new. I know this has been claimed many times by other people in different ways of talking, but very powerful, very, very powerful, yeah? And again, not in hypnosis, just the guy going, look at me when I don't know what's going. I don't know what's going on. And does it happen? Does it happen all the time? No, it doesn't. But that's the human condition. That's us, I guess. Yeah.
I think, yeah, the beautiful part is,
I mean, I'm jealous of a lot of the people I work with. I'm a good swanner, but I don't do direct voice. Yeah.
Mm. You get to meet direct voices in so many occasions.
Yeah.
But my swan has never moved that fast and that big, to be honest. And I think also, you know, the feeling I get is, like I said, wow, it's actually working and it's actually speaking.
Yeah.
And it is there. And I think one of it is, I'm just happy that it's there.
Absolutely.
That is still there. Whatever it is, that's there. It's present and it's making itself known.
Yeah. And that I think for most people is enough. You know, there's a saying, isn't there? That people will say, does it matter how it works, as long as it works? And although I get that, I'm not like that. I want to know why. I want to know why the wheel goes round and what's inside the ball. That's me. I don't want it just to work. And I don't want it just to be there. It's just not me. I want to know, where'd you come from? How long ago? Have we known each other before? Are we, you know, what's going on? I want it all. I'm a monster. I'm an absolute monster that I like to dig and get it all. And sometimes that causes its own challenges. Again, my excuse to some of the people watching here, but sometimes this one isn't, hi, yeah, how you doing? I'm fine. I've had many situations. I've had elderly ladies sitting across to me with a hand like this, and suddenly the mouth opens and I hear, I will fucking kill you. Now, suddenly, it's not a lot of fun, yeah? So things can change. So we ask ourselves again, what is the part coming through? For deeply religious people, it's the devil or whatever, and so on and so forth. So different things will change. I've even had a guy some months ago, he came on, he came from the Middle East with his hand like this, and I said, okay. And if you like, and he's thinking, what's going on? And this happened. So suddenly the hand turns around and gives him a wave, and he looked at me and he went, I have to go. Switched off. I've never heard from him again. It was just too much. It was too much for him and his beliefs and what have you. But it's interesting that he chose to assume it was bad when he might have assumed it was good.
But I think that's the instinct. When you don't know what it is, be careful. That's sort of a very primal instinct.
I know. But
the thing is, he it's in him. Well, it's not like it's someone living in your office, I suppose.
Well, we don't know what it is, but you just said instincts there. Human beings are funny creatures, are they? I'm surrounded, especially online on Facebook. They're all over the place, are they? People who say, I always trust my gut. Now, with the greatest respect to Americans, it's mainly Americans who say that, yeah? I always trust my gut. My gut never lets me down. And so they are, more than anyone, great believers in manifesting things by contacting the universe and getting stuff. Now, my experience of human beings is we should not trust our gut and take it easy with the instinct thing. There's a lovely program on TV in the UK right now. Don't know if you've got it over there. I would ask anyone, please go and find it now. Go online and look up Traitors, Traitors. Go and watch the program Traitors. They've done one in America as well. It's fascinating. So what you've got is a group of people, say 20 in a room, all say, it's a funny feeling. Yeah, I get the feeling, I trust my gut. And I think they have to guess who the traitors are. And they're just all, nearly everyone, wrong. It's a complete, absolutely evidential that human beings are shit at trusting their gut. There's even psychics come on. And then you can see that look in their face. Well, I have to say, it's a bit unfair. I'm actually a psychic, so I can tune into these things. They're going to be wrong. So we've got this thing. I want to trust my gut. I like the idea of trusting my instincts. But I know I'm shit. But I'll tell you what, when I use this little fella here, sometimes magical things can happen. I'll allow myself to be guided by this part, which might simply be my subconscious. It might simply be my gut being wrong, but I find it interesting to work like that. My challenge is I'm a problem child because my background is in psychology. Yeah. So I'm there. My thinking should be purely academic. Purely academic? I'm the guy who come up with this thing. Hello, how are you? It's ridiculous, isn't it? So I've got a foot in both camps. I've got a foot in this camp where I knock the psychologists because they're too exact with that evidence-based stuff, which clearly isn't evidence-based. And I'm in the other camp as well where I poo-hoo some people that think crazy things like unicorns. Well, I myself believe in nature spirits. So who am I to talk, you know? Who am I to talk? So we're all kind of crazy mixed up kids. It's lovely. Yeah.
You have to have an open mind,
I guess, absolutely.
Otherwise, I think life is sort of boring, right?
Yeah.
Without an open mind, I mean, you want to believe in unicorns, and but still, you have never seen, you know, proof that there are unicorns. But it's sort of, you can always hope, you know, you can imagine that they're real.
Magic can come at any time, Dan. And that's what we want to try and sell our clients on. You know, somebody comes to you with pain. Wouldn't it be great if you could take that pain away immediately? Sometimes if I think it's not going too well, we'll do something. We'll do an icebreaker, a crack a gag or something. So it's hard to feel pain when they're laughing. Yeah, it's really hard to feel pain when you're slapping your thighs and going, it just doesn't work. So yeah, and again, sneaky is best. I need to get them where I want them to go. With a smile and an open-handed gesture and a nod of my head, I'm working all the time. I need them to be here where I can help them, yeah? And sometimes by asking them to be here doesn't work. They won't go there. So we've got to use these tricks, yeah? We've got to be tricksy. We've got to get them in there. Because at the end of the day, we simply want to take the pain. I'll tell you a lovely story, Dan. I'm reminded it was maybe me 3 years ago. I was the keynote speaker at the UK Hypnosis Convention. And in the afternoon, I met this lady. And as I was talking to her, I told her that, sometimes with clients, you know, you have to lie to the client to get them to have a certain belief. And she asked me for an example. I said, well, you know, client comes to see me. And I say, right now, I'm talking to you consciously, but I need to talk to you subconsciously because your subconscious will bypass your conscious and will bypass the critical factor. So I can get you to do certain things. It's like lies to children until they're ready for a more sophisticated truth. Like, hey, there's such a person as Santa Claus. Later, when they're growing up, we tell them the truth. We do that with clients sometimes. Does that make sense? And as I said, does that make sense? She smiled and said, yes. But Dan, her eyes were glazy. And I thought, I don't think this is working too well. And here we go. Trust your gut feeling. Here we go. Because when I'm in the middle of the talk, 4 hours later at nighttime, I'm talking and suddenly somebody stands up in this massive hall. And it's the woman. And she says, I just want to tell everybody Bob Burridge lies to his clients. And she got escorted out, bless her. Yeah. But
what was the...
But there we go. That sometimes happens. There's people waiting for you, isn't there? They've got big nights.
What's the reason behind that?
She wasn't right, bless her.
Just didn't like you.
And that's okay because life is like a bell curve, yeah? There's a thing called a bell curve. Mm. In one end, 10% of these people love me, Dan. Mm. They absolutely love me. I walk into a room, they melt. They go, they just love me. And I don't know why they love me. And they don't know why they love me. Over here, they want to kill me very, very quickly. They just want me dead. They can't stand me. But I understand that, and it's okay. I'm not interested in the 10% that love me to work on, or the 10% that hate me to work on. I work with the 80% in the middle. Mm. And by the way, it's probably the 20, 20, and 60 in the middle. But that's, I understand the business, and that's the people I'll work with. The ones who are absolutely against you, they're just, you can see it on Facebook. I think I was called in December a shit of a human being by a woman. And I thought it was just wonderful. She totally, completely misread something that I'd written. Totally, completely misread it. I got 83 likes for it, with people saying, yeah, and she says, I'm a shitter. But that's the way it is. Did I come back to her? No, I'm wasting my time. So she's at that end of the bell curve, and I have to love her. I'm just going to send her a loving thought and let it go. That's the only way this stuff works, yeah? So that's what we do.
Well, if nothing else, it makes you happier.
Yeah, and I've got to be happy, and I can't work. I can't get through the day. Yeah. Mm. So with a good thought inside me, my mother-in-law's tongue, I can do miracles. Yeah,
yeah, I believe you. But Bob, if anyone wants to get in contact with you, work with you, with the Swan or hypnosis, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, can either contact me through Facebook or through my website, which is bobburnshypnotherapy.com. Simple as that. And so I do online sessions. Or if they want to come here and do it personally. But most of my work is now online. And through that, they can contact me either. They can purchase my stuff online. It's not expensive. I only sell 2 DVDs. Mm-hmm. Or again, they can come to me for mentoring or for therapy. But it's all done through bobburnshypnotherapy.com. And of course, if they want to come to any of my workshops, they're very, very welcome. I enjoy the workshops. I enjoy the online workshops. But so, like I said, there's one in January, the 27th and 28th. Yeah, just for those who are nosy, I think it's either £250 or £300 the guy's charging for it. And I've got this thing on in March, which will be absolutely fantastic. And I shouldn't be saying that because I haven't done one of these before. But I've got it in here. I know what it is. I've already written it. And it will blow them away. And that's on people bringing something else into the therapy to make it special. Yeah.
Highly recommended, and we'll put the links in the episode description. Bob Burns, I am honored to have you as a guest on my podcast, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Totally my pleasure, Dan. Take care. Love to everybody. Have a great day. All the very best.